Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
And we are glad you are. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour from the Southern Bancorp Studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Bob Getty, Kelly Center, Dima Mixon, the full crew's here. We're glad you're with us. Opening segment of our show, sponsored by Movie Star Restaurant right here in Oak Grove, where you go for the best Southern cooking buffet in the land. Movie Star Restaurant, open 6 days a week. Closed only on Saturday. Check them out. Been serving the Pine Belt for over 25 years. All right, guys, got a good show today. We're going to be talking to our good friend Lee Roberts, a.k.a. Captain America. We'll be talking to Captain America later in the show. We're going to hear from the director of the Independence Bowl, and we're going to talk about football here in a minute. The Independence Bowl reminded me, Kelly, when I was listening to the interview you did earlier. I think back several years ago, Luke Johnson and I went to Shreveport.
Didn't you say this is the coldest you've ever been?
It was literally the coldest day of my life. I don't think I have ever experienced weather quite like that. And I watched the game from the press box, which I don't really like doing. But I just don't see how people set out in that for 3 hours. It was crazy cold.
But now that was years ago, you know. Al Gore, we've warmed up since Al Gore, with global
warming.
Another
thing I learned is never agree to do something like that on Christmas Day. I left my family, drove to Shreveport, got a hotel room. I think that was the loneliest Christmas night of my life, sitting in a hotel room. It's 55 below zero in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I'm there by myself.
But by you leaving on Christmas Day, Bob, you were actually giving your family what they wanted.
I gave them the greatest gift of the holidays.
Yeah,
My wife was quoted as saying, the best gift I got all year was watching his taillights leave the driveway.
Yes.
The family, prettiest lights I saw all year.
Though. Biggest party the they ever had.
The loneliest Kelly ever was on his honeymoon night when his wife realized that. That's what she had to look forward to.
So. What a terrible mistake she had made.
Yes. So she went to another room.
What's happened to him?
I don't know. And you did tell him. Well, never mind. I was going to really make him feel uncomfortable, Bob.
No.
You know.
You've already corrupted him. He wasn't this way when he joined.
That's true. That's true.
That is true.
Much a nicer kid when he first came here. All right. Well, he was of the three. He's the one that actually works for the show, and we appreciate that very much. He was at football practice yesterday at 5 o'clock, but Dima, a little confusing maybe?
Yes, I mean, obviously what we documented on the show yesterday was Blake Anderson said that Ethan Hampton would be 100% at practice on Tuesday. He said that his own words. So I was out there for the entire practice yesterday, and I did not see Hampton throw a football, and I was standing by the quarterbacks almost the entire time. I didn't even see him pick up one. And in the post game press conference, Blake comes up and says, "Yeah, I thought he had a good day of practice." And so I kind of just went and asked him. I said, "Like, what is a good day of practice?" And he said, "Well, didn't really throw the ball any, but he was here and he was present and he was doing these things." So at least from what I understand, guys, and he did say later in that quote that the injury is taking longer than what we thought. And from what I understand, this situation is concerning enough where they're still not comfortable with naming one of the other two as your starting quarterback. Because we did ask him, "Are you ready to name a starting quarterback?" He said, "No, I need patience. Patience from the fan base." But it's concerning enough to me now where there's certainly, at least in my head, a possibility that Hampton doesn't practice at all until game one.
And I based my opinion solely on, again, the Joe Burrow injury of a couple years ago. That throwing thumb comes down on top of a helmet and can bruise very easily. There's ligaments and sort of things in there. And you think, well, you should be able to compensate a little bit. Well, it's easy for us to say.
Yeah.
That thumb is really the guide finger, right, on that left side of the football if you're right-handed. So I just kind of sensed that this is going to take a little longer. They said the exact same thing when Joe Burrow suffered the injury. 2 weeks, he'll be good. it wound up being 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I hope it's not 6 weeks, sure, with Ethan Hampton, but it's certainly longer than two.
Well, I think the point to me is it's on his throwing hand.
Yes.
So, I mean, any uncomfortability there.
Is that a word?
Uncomfortability?
Discomfort?
It's what I experience every day sitting next to you. But
that's why I sit on this side.
So I know. Yeah. I did some producing for maybe three or four shows, and then Bob said, I'll take that chair back. Go to the other side.
I got him trained now.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I just think that anytime you have anything in the throwing arm, the arm throwing hand, if there's any level of discomfort.
It's hard.
It's hard to get back out there. And here's my question proposed to you. If he does not play against Alcorn State, will we see him against Auburn?
Well, would you want to bring him in the first game against Auburn?
I don't think so. I think that UConn game is more important than the Auburn game, so why not give him an extra week of rest if he's not going to play against Alcorn State?
I think that that's logical. That's certainly logical. But you'd have to base some of that decision based on whoever you do start and how they perform.
Yeah, what if they light it up?
You can't take that away from them, right? I mean, if you go into
any... That'd be a good problem to have, light it up against Auburn.
Well, no, it would be, in this case, it would be lighted up against Alcorn.
Right.
Yeah. Because if you have a poor performance against Alcorn, then you're
in trouble.
You're in big trouble all the way across the board.
You're in trouble. Dima made that point yesterday, I think. I forget which year it was, but it was a Will Hall team, and they beat the SWAC team early, but they didn't look good doing it, and it turned into a long, tough season.
Because let's just hypothetically say it's Liddy that gets the start, performs well against Alcorn, performs decently against Auburn. Well, then are you gonna pull him out after he has met every type of standard that you could expect in the first couple of games?
I think so, because you brought Hampton here for a reason, and he was brought here to be your starting quarterback, and he was going to be the starter regardless of what Liddy did against in fall camp. I mean, that's been documented, that it's obvious that it's been him from the start. And anytime you can get your best player on the field, you have to do it. Even if Liddy has a great day against a SWAC school and maybe even a good day against an SEC school, Hampton is the best quarterback on this roster, and I don't feel ashamed in saying that. I cover the team. I know what I'm watching. Hampton's the best. You got to put the best out there.
Damon, when do they normally release the depth chart, the official depth chart?
You know, this is something we were talking about yesterday as well, and generally you'd see it like Wednesday before the game. I don't know if there's going to be a depth chart this year. Like, I don't know. And I'm not saying that for Southern Miss. I think that's kind of across all of college football. When you just have these incredibly large roster turnovers now, you know, there's not really a need outside of quarterback, maybe offensive line. I mean, is there really a need for a depth chart anymore? I mean, because if a player doesn't perform well, say Elijah Singleton, not trying to single him out, that was no pun intended, but Elijah Singleton, let's just say he has a poor day or whatever, and then Davis Dalton comes in and he has a great day. Well, the next week, let's start Davis Dalton, see how he does start. I mean, so I don't know, and I actually asked Blake that yesterday about the depth chart, because somebody asked him in the press conference, you know, where are you at on your depth chart? And he said, what depth chart? You know, so I don't know if they're really going to have one, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
And it used to be in years past, when you'd get film on other teams, you'd have a reasonable expectation as to what the new team
film
was going to
last year.
Correct. Yeah. Because a lot of those players,
but not now,
would be the same players.
Not now,
right.
Yeah.
Because
not
you've now got a team that's completely brand new. You don't know who you're scouting. It just makes film work almost obsolete anymore.
Dima, getting away from the quarterback, last couple of minutes left in this segment, your observation is a quote unquote team forming here at practice. I mean, can you see the formation of what you think will be the starting team?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you have your ones that go out and then your ones that go out on defense. So I think for the most part, those 11 guys are going to start at least against Alcorn. But I will probably put – I'd probably put down $100 that those same players won't be the ones that start against UConn, if that makes sense. That's what
that
I'm saying about
sense.
The depth chart.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
But I don't think that's necessarily different than any other team.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's across college football now. I don't really know the need, especially here at the Group of Five level, the need for depth charts outside of a quarterback, outside of a center where you have to have that chemistry. But, I mean, for the most part, like Southern Miss's three defensive backs are all almost interchangeable. So, I mean, it's just kind of whoever's out there, whoever's performing well enough that particular week.
Dima, are the Alabamas and Ohio States of the college football world experiencing this to the same degree?
I mean, to their own level, yes. Like, for example, Ohio State, I know because I follow them, but, you know, 53 new players on their team.
Really?
So, yeah.
Really?
53 new players, and, you know, a lot of those are transfers, and you see it at Alabama. They have a lot of new players. The teams that generally win in college football are the teams that either that you hit in the transfer portal or it's players who have a lot of experience, i.e. Indiana last year, who just brought so much experience back and had, you know, obviously a brilliant coach. But you're seeing now what we were talking about yesterday with these players who decide to go to the NFL, you're seeing a lot of them stay in college, you know, that extra year. And then when they start stacking teams with those players, those are the ones that generally excel. Like Oregon this year, a lot of that team is coming back from last year, who were all draft eligible. But they're all like fifth-year seniors, so that's why they're ranked number one or whatever they are.
Everybody's playing to get to a bowl. We'll hear from the man that runs the Independence Bowl, which is one that should be very familiar to Southern Miss fans next. Still to come as well, Lee Roberts. Head to the break. Remind you about Forest Health. Great hospital here in Hattiesburg. They remind you to get an annual physical. Be sure you keep your health as good as it can be. But when issues pop up, Forest Health will be there with expert medical care to help you closer to home. Very lucky to have them. ForestHealth.org.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Time for the Super Talk Eagle Hour 2026 Sun Belt Football Countdown, sponsored by Hancock Whitney Bank.
At Hancock Whitney, we know strong communities are built through teamwork, dedication, and tradition, the same values that define Southern Miss athletics. I'm Daniel Stewart, business banker at Hancock Whitney. We're proud to support Eagle Hour and the student athletes, alumni, and fans who make Golden Eagle Nation so special. Whether you're buying a home, growing your business, planning for retirement, or simply looking for a trusted financial partner, our team is here to help you every step of the way. Hancock Whitney, your dream, our mission. Proud to support Southern Miss. To the top.
Joining us on the Eagle Hour is a member of the executive committee of the Independence Bowl, many of us know, in Shreveport. Tim Wilhite joins us. Tim, you know, one of the things that all of bowl recruiters are having to deal with is the uncertainty now that and it just seems to be a trend that schools are saying, we don't even want to play in the bowl. We don't want to go anymore. Doesn't that really logically put the future of the bowl system as we know it in a very precarious situation?
It does, and in trying to figure out how we're going to fit in the purpose of the bowls, because more you see the fans want to have an experience, the teams, the kids that stay want to have an experience, but how do you fit with these rule changes? The portal. So, you know, we had a bad experience with Marshall. Coach leaves, goes to Southern Miss, and the entire team disappears. And so, and that's unfortunate for the kids who didn't want to play. So, we're trying to figure out how we're going to fit, and not just the Radiance Technology Independence Bowl, but all the bowl games. And so, you use the term, you know, uncertainty. I was like, the certainty is the uncertainty now. Because they can't make a decision. And so we can't wait on them. We're going to do what we can to make sure we have a bowl. We're 50 years old this year. We have survived a lot of different things and different sponsors. And we got a great sponsor right now. and we're going to do whatever we can to create a great experience for the family, the kids, and the staff.
So you're here talking to athletic directors and coaches of teams in the Sun Belt Conference. I thought it was real interesting what you said, too, the fact that Shreveport is not a beach town. That you kind of like the old rent-a-car place, you got to try a little bit harder and tell people that, look, just because we don't have a beach doesn't mean there's not stuff to do.
Yeah, and we focus, and I'm proud to say this, we focus on the experience for the players and their families and the staff and their spouses and their kids. And you're not going to be at a bowl game for a week. You're going to be there 3 or 4 days. So we want to make sure you have a great time while you're there. And I have to say that as teams come and experience it, everybody seems to have had a great time. Coastal Carolina had a great time last year. And what's funny is I've had to drag my wife to get involved, as I'm going to be chairman 1 year. So she's had to learn. And so she's like, hey, why don't we do this? So it's a process, and we're going to do what do we take to make sure everybody has a great time. We're going to feed you well.
But one of the things, though, that I think has to be brought up is that the fan bases need to know is one of the top criteria is how well will these teams travel as far as their fan bases and coming to these cities, yes?
Yes, and it's that associates with dates and weather and I'm a season ticket holder at LSU. It's like, how much money can you pull out of me to go to other games? And so that's part of the process, and that's why we look with all the different partners and how we can create matchups that get the fans excited. And that's why we're here with the Sun Belt today. We've been through different conferences, and we're seeing how the landscape changes. The Sun Belt's been great with us in the past, and looking forward to maybe continue that and to move up the process. But we also, the bowl is one event for the foundation. The bowl is owned by a nonprofit foundation. We have events all year long, so we want to keep adding more events. And so, conference golf championship, basketball in our area. We have a huge junior tennis tournament we sponsor. We have coaches' clinics, but we have kids' clinics we just had. So we have events all year long. The bowl is just a culmination of that event within the community.
How soon on the calendar will each team start being looked at under a microscope by the selection committee of the Independence Bowl?
I wish it would be faster, because then we wouldn't be traveling during Thanksgiving weekend. But we start meeting usually at the end of September, looking at schedules, looking at how's playing, and we try to project, and then we figure out. Most of the time, honestly, when I'm going to a game, I go to one game away a year, and then maybe I drive to another. But I'm looking at relationships, not particularly for this year, but in the future. You never know the coach I'm talking to or the athletic director I'm talking to. Let's say Troy doesn't become the athletic director at Iowa State. We had a great relationship with ACC and with Mr. Draper, and he ends up at the Big 12. And we've had a great relationship with the Big 12. It's all about relationships.
Do you find that a team's record, that there's any data that would correlate a team's record to the fan base's enthusiasm? For example, I've heard some fans of various schools say when their team finished 6-6 and the rarity that they'd finish 5-7 and get to go to a bowl, fans say, I'm not going. They don't even deserve to go as a team.
No, fans go. If their fans are coming, it depends the date. Our date's a great date this year. It's pre-Christmas, so you get to come into town, have a great time, go to the game, and then you're home for Christmas Eve, Christmas. Tough dates in the past is December 26th. That's a tough date. Or an 8:30 on New Year's Eve is a tough date, and you've got other competition.
And like anything, it's follow the money, isn't it, Tim?
Yes.
And ESPN is the one that kind of says, whether you like it or not, this is the date, and you're –
We work with them and go, here's what we would like. And sometimes it's great, and sometimes we will deal with it. And sometimes you have no idea. So people last year, our date's not that great. It's a 2:30 on a weekday. We had a great crowd. Coastal and Louisiana Tech, we had a beautiful day, great crowd. We've had 7:30 on a Friday night, but if it's raining, you're not your walk-up crowd. So it's like any other outdoor sporting event. So we have our base that locals are always going to buy tickets and be involved, but we want that walk-up crowd. Talking to the Sun Belt, it's more teams that will be an easy travel.
All right, Kelly, that's interesting to hear him talk. The uncertainty not only has enveloped the game, it has now it's enveloped the Bulls.
The biggest surprise answer that I got was I really thought that the record would have a direct correlation as to the enthusiasm of fan bases. Because I've heard some people say, not necessarily with Southern Miss, but just schools in general, that get that default bowl invitation because not enough teams that were bowl eligible.
Yeah,
except
5-7 team. Yeah.
Yeah, they go, man, I am not going halfway across the globe or whatever to watch a 5-7 team who, by all rights, shouldn't even be there anyway.
Yeah.
But he said that, no, loyalty seems to trump record, which that surprised me a little bit.
Yeah. What also surprised me was the degree of uncertainty that he expressed they have to deal with. I deal with this athletic director. He may be the athletic director at another school before the end of the year. It's just insanity.
Yeah, so the relationship that he worked so hard to cultivate
is gone.
Is not doing him any good because that guy's
right.
gone.
Right.
But the other thing, too, is how they hold their breath on the dates that yeah. they get. And it's kind of like, oh, nobody obviously wants that New Year's Eve schedule at 8:30. Nobody wants certain dates, but you're at the mercy of, I know you're going to be shocked when I say this, the money,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
The ESPNs of the world make those decisions, and you're stuck whether you like
well,
it or not.
Well, as I said earlier in the show, I experienced that day after Christmas. That's a terrible, terrible time to have a bowl game. Were you at that game?
Which one?
The Independence Bowl, Southern Miss and Florida State.
Yes, I was.
Were you outside? Did you
yes.
watch?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're a tougher guy than me.
It was
How
cold.
Cold were you?
I was the coldest game I've ever been to, I think.
It was terrible.
It was either that one or a Michigan game I went to one time. And then the hottest game I've ever been to was that game in Starkville where Southern Miss played there in 2019, I believe. Mm-hmm. That was the hottest I think I've ever been. But, yeah, as far as the bowls, I'm kind of always on the opinion that we should do away with bowls, but, you know, except for on the Group of Five level, because I think they matter in that regard. But on the national level of college football, I don't think they, as far as like the top 25, you know, they should be in the playoffs.
But, Demi, the argument is that this is a reward for the players if
yes.
they've had a good season. If
yep.
somebody made that argument with you, what would you say?
Then stop opting out.
Yeah, stop opting out is exactly correct about that.
If it's a reward for the players, stop opting out of the bowl
games. Didn't Notre Dame opt out?
Yeah, they opted out completely.
Because they didn't get their way.
Yeah.
And Marshall, as he talked about, you know, that was a situation where the personnel left.
And credit to Southern Miss last year also because they had an opportunity there to opt out when Huff left and all those players,
yes,
Braxton, absolutely. All those players came back and said, no, we're playing in that bowl game.
And
credit to them.
And you remember there was a real controversy when Larry Fedora opted to go to Hawaii.
I remember that.
When the fans didn't want to go. But as Fedora has said, if it's supposed to be a reward for the players, there
they
is
never
no,
get to go to Hawaii again.
Exactly. There's no better reward than going to Hawaii.
I think they should keep the bowls for, you know, Group of Five level of college football. But if Notre Dame's and the Ohio State's and the Oregon's of the world opting out of bowl games, just stop.
All right, MCS Home Center, home repair, home remodeling, home construction. If you've got any of those things on your mind, that's where you need to go. They're located out on Highway 98 West. Local folks eager to help you. We will be there 1 week from Friday. Football players in the house, we understand. We're going to have a good time at MCS Home Center. Captain America next on the Eagle Hour.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
I want to say hello to our friends out at Eagle Tire West, Highway 98 West. That's where Matt Warren and the guys sell Goodyear tires, all major brands. Do full service work on your car and truck. They're big Southern Miss supporters since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West, local businesses. That's who you need to do business with. Want to get better at a great sport? Maybe the sport of your choice? Well, D-Bat's waiting for you. They're on Hardy Street. Luke Reynolds and his staff's got a program for every athlete, no matter their age or what sport they enjoy. And Lee Roberts will hook you up. And let me see here. I think we may be finding our guest.
This is like live radio, isn't it? This is cool.
We're calling Super Talk Hattiesburg.
Oh, boy.
That isn't it. We'll try to get it here in just a second. Lee Roberts is actually the guest we're trying to get on the phone. He's not down at DBAT. But great place, isn't it, Kelly, and a beautiful facility, right?
And this is the time of year with all travel ball being done now, supposedly. Baseball used to be just a spring sport, but now when you do travel ball with softball and baseball, a lot of these fall tournaments will get going here as soon as things cool down just a little bit. And if you want to stay on top of your game, keep those, stay on top of your good cuts, softball and baseball, then DBAT in air-conditioned comfort, also super clean, which if you tend to be a germaphobe or a neat freak, you want to make sure that COVID has certainly made us more sensitive to that, right, since 2020, making sure that all those places are nice and clean, and DBAT certainly fits that bill.
The good news is since basketball is 12 months long, you know, there's gyms all over Hattiesburg you can also play basketball in, so you don't have to go to DBAT for basketball.
Mergens. I'm unable to take your call at the moment.
Wow, we got all kinds of buttons we're pushing over there.
We're not going to be able to get that done.
You know?
Can you imagine technical problems? I just can't.
Aliens have abducted the Captain America. We're going to take the Avengers on it.
I can't believe that the phone system is not working.
Well, now he's trying. Looks like he's trying to call again.
Well, let's try one more time.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey,
Lee, you with us?
Hello.
Hey, there he
Lee
is.
Lee Roberts,
yes.
There he is. Okay, my man. How are you?
The Avengers saved him.
Hey.
Lee, I got a question I want to ask you. I'm sorry we had that trouble, but Marchant Kenny told us yesterday that moving forward into the new season, we should refer to you as Captain America. Have you heard that before?
I'm going to let Marchant just keep that one. So he that's what he refers to me as. So
yeah.
We'll keep it between me and Marchant.
Yeah. All right, Lee Roberts, you are the perfect guy to have on the show this hour. So our man Dima here goes to practice yesterday, and there are only three left, you know, real practices, and the QB does not pick up a football the entire game. Kelly is concerned that when you injure the thumb on your throwing hand, it can be far more severe than what you might think as a layman. Is that a tough injury for a quarterback, Lee?
No, it really is, because when you think about how you grip the football, you grip it with your two middle fingers, so your ring finger and your middle finger and your thumb. So those are the three pressure points on the football. So yeah, if you've got a thumb injury, that's a tough thing right there for sure. And it's a pretty common injury, him, you know, kind of jamming a thumb or whatever on top of a helmet as you're throwing a football. But yeah, sure hate to see that for that guy. And you know, just not been able to compete right now. I know that makes it tough, but hopefully the other two guys are getting a lot of reps and trying to improve. And regardless what happens, they're going to line up on next Saturday against Alcorn.
But so how big a setback that is that when you got the guy that you know, everybody I think believes he's going to be the QB, and now he can't take snaps as you get closer to the kickoff?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of times as kind of a veteran like he is, you're getting mental reps as well. So although you're not getting the physical reps, which that does, you know, play a big part, but as long as he keeps his head in there and stays, you know, in the film room, in the meeting rooms, and he's standing in the huddle hearing all the terminology, seeing what's happening on the field. You know, I think he's getting some work there. Obviously, not being able to throw the football, that's, you know, not what you want as well. But, yeah, at the quarterback position, it's both a mental game and a physical game. So he's having to get the mental reps right now.
Yeah, that's what Anderson told us, Lee, when we talked to him on Saturday. Talked about not being necessarily concerned that Hampton hadn't been getting those reps because he was a veteran guy. He was a sixth-year guy, and he's had reps, whereas the other two guys haven't had as many reps as him. I'm curious, I guess the counter to that argument might be that he hasn't done it necessarily with this group, right, with this offensive line, with this center, with these receivers. Not getting live reps with them, I just wonder how much that'll affect him when he is ready to go, which by all accounts, you know, what we're hearing from Anderson is that it's going to be sooner than later, if that will affect him in any way. And I don't know where I stand on it, but just curious where you think.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, anytime you have a new team, you have a new coach, a new coordinator, a new offensive line, all that plays a part. I don't care who you are or how long you've been playing the game. But like I said, I mean, he's continued to get those mental reps. And the good thing is John White and Liddy are getting reps as well. And so down the road, they're going to be much better prepared as well. And so it could be a blessing in disguise. You never want to see your potential number one guy go down in fall camp. But I feel like this guy will rebound, whether it's week one or week two, not sure. But looking forward to see what would happen at that position for sure, whoever it is.
I want to ask about the physiology, Lee, of throwing the football, because you mentioned the two, the ring finger and the middle finger. Those obviously on a right-hander are gripping the outside of the football. The thumb is all by itself on the inner part of the football, right? So when so when that happens, when the thumb essentially is disabled, can you just kind of talk about the science of throwing a football and why the thumb is probably even more important than the two outer fingers?
I mean, I just think those three fingers in general. Obviously, your whole hand plays a huge part. Bigger your hands, the better opportunity you have to throw the football, grip the football. But everybody's a little differently, but those three fingers in general are the ones that, you know, are concentrated on the football. Your pointer and your pinky are just kind of there to guide and stabilize the football. But
right. Yeah,
so having that pressure on the inside with your thumb, it's a tough injury. But like I said, it's a pretty common injury with quarterbacks, but let's hope it doesn't keep him out too long. But to your question, it is vitally important to have that thumb on the inside of that football and be able to put pressure as well.
Lee, as a former player, did you prefer to start the season out with a, and I want to be respectful here, with a game that you feel like you're very likely going to win, playing a school like Alcorn, or would you rather jump right in, play in tough competition right out of the gate?
Well, I can answer that twofold. So my junior and senior years, we opened up with Florida, who won the national championship, and Penn State. So
they were pretty good.
those aren't cupcake games. You know, we didn't win those games, but I think we learned a lot as a team as well. And so I think you could take a little bit from both. I mean, obviously an Alcorn type team. I mean, they've got nothing to lose. They're coming in here. You know, they want to win this in-state game. We can't take anything lightly for sure. But, you know, with all being said and done, I mean, if we take care of business, we ought to be able to play extremely well. I mean, are we going to blow them out? I'm not going to say that. But we should be able to score points. We're going to probably give up some points as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, on paper, you know, Southern Miss ought to be better than Alcorn. Don't want to give them any bulletin board material. But, I think having a game like that, you kind of find out who you are a little bit better. I know we've talked in the past about maybe that UConn game, maybe being kind of a measuring stick as well. But I like opening up against Alcorn just the way this team is right now.
And
got to find out a way who we are.
Well, real quick, before Kelly jumps in here, what was the more physical of those two games, Florida or Penn State?
Both are pretty physical now. you know, obviously the Penn State's the one that started my senior year. That's the one that I wanted to get off on the right foot, especially coming off a Liberty Bowl win. We had lost a lot of talent, and we were trying to prove something as well. But, you know, they had some tough guys on that defensive side, guys that kept me moving and running all night long. So I think that Penn State game probably sticks out a little more in my head.
Yeah, I like that, Lee. The Big Ten, more tough than the SEC. That's music to my ears.
I would rather play teams where I can get off on the right foot than teams that would break my right foot, you know.
This is true.
So those Penn State boys hit you, didn't they, Lou?
They did. I mean,
Nittany Lions.
The Florida guys didn't, and the year before in 96 playing Florida State, that was a rough one as well. So
I think you've told me personally. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I think in some of our private conversations, you've told me that was the most physical game you ever played, that Florida State game.
Yeah, Florida State 96. They had three All-Americans on the defensive front. It was a tough night all night. It was a game we jumped out, scored a couple of touchdowns early, and they just kind of turned up the heat a little bit. And it didn't end fair well for the Golden Eagles that night.
So let's hypothetically say that Hampton gets the start game one, but he's not 100%. We'll never know that, right? But let's just say he's not 100%. Do you then change the way you call that game a little bit, Lee? That is what logic would tell me, is that if you start Hampton and he's not 100%, you alter the game plan just a little.
I mean, I think you do. I mean, but I think you know on Thursday before going in on Saturday kind of what it will be like with him behind center. You know, do you try to stay run heavy a little bit? Do you maybe throw some passes where he doesn't have to air it out, maybe just get it out of his hands quick? But honestly, that's a tough situation too. But I think you do. So if you're going to name him starter, not saying they are, but if that's the direction, I think you know next Thursday when they walk off the practice field what the game plan will look like.
All right, Lee Robbins will be joining us every Tuesday starting next week. We look forward to that. Lee, thank you. And I'm going to tell you this real quick. If Marchant had played better, you'd have won that Penn State game.
Well, Marchant wasn't on the team that year, so we
can't blame him.
Like Marchant,
okay,
but we lost a ton of talent. That was why that game was so important.
All right, Lee, thank you, Lee Roberts. Everybody, we'll be right back.
Big Ten tougher than the SEC.
Penn State tougher than Florida. That didn't surprise me.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, Marty Vick owns Jewel Masters. Well, actually, Cindy owns Jewel Masters, and she lets Marty work there. Isn't that right, Kelly?
She owns Marty.
She owns Marty. That is the best way to put it. But Marty will buy your gold and silver. I was visiting with him yesterday, and there were two gentlemen sitting up front. Had a box of gold coins, I think, and jewelry, and they went back to talk to Marty. He's been doing it longer than anybody. He'll give you more money than anybody. But we also want you to understand that Jewel Masters is open for business with beautiful jewelry throughout the store. So it's not just gold and silver buying. That is their specialty. But they're open and anxious to have you give them an opportunity to earn your business. As are our friends over at our favorite barbecue place, Kelly.
Dickie's you're talking about?
Now, wouldn't it be the time right now to call Dickie's about a week from Saturday, maybe?
Yes, if you're making tailgate plans now. And hopefully next week we're going to have on some university officials that can give us some good tips on tailgating, parking, you know, how all that's going to work this year. But the last thing you want to do at a tailgate party is worry about the food. You want to be able to get together and enjoy fellowship. And Dickie's knows all about that. They've been doing it for years. Right. And why even take the risk?
Right.
Get something you know that everybody's going to enjoy.
Hey, I want to say hello to our friends out of Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Go out there and check out those beautiful Genesis sedans and SUVs. And then if you get thirsty, how about a cold coffee and some fresh beignets? Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. Check out their Facebook page. And check out our podcast, if you will, please. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri. Play the Supertalk Eagle Hour.
Now we have this show. We're happy that it's even on podcast form, but we have it on good authority that the Eagle Hour has made it all the way to WeHo in California, West Hollywood.
Yes. I talked to a listener yesterday and love having those conversations who has family out there. And said he was listening to you and in the same room was Halle Berry.
The actress.
And I thought, my God, is that an example of the old movie Beauty and the Beast? Kelly Sander and Halle Berry. And he said she was just as gorgeous in person as on camera.
See, and you don't think I hang. You guys don't think that I have the street cred to hang out with all these motion picture stars.
No, you weren't there, Kelly. It was a listener that was
there.
Oh, yes.
Did he just say WeHo?
WeHo, West Hollywood. See, if you're out in Cali and hang with those people, Demon, you know that
WeHo. I wanted to go back to one thing that we mentioned earlier in this show, really quick. We've talked a lot about the UConn game being a nice measuring stick for
right.
Southern Miss football. I'm curious, what is that measuring stick that you have in mind? Is that, do they win? Are they competitive? Is it a close game? End up losing? What is the measuring stick? Is it that you don't just get blown out?
No, the measuring stick to me is that you take the field with somebody that is that has comparable talent on both sides of the ball, and then how you perform. Because obviously Auburn, by all rights, is going to be more talented on both sides of the ball than Southern Miss. And conversely, the Eagles should be more talented on both sides of the ball than Alcorn. So UConn is going to be a team that is comparable to Southern Miss, and that which would be more comparable to Sun Belt teams.
So I guess my question is, coming out of that game, what would make you feel better?
Out of the UConn game? All I ever want my teams to do, professionally or collegiately, is to compete. I don't expect to win every single game. God knows. I mean, I've been a Bengal and Tigers fans for years. So, I know about losing.
So your expectation is not to win that game, but for it to be 23-20.
I just want them to compete. Yeah. If that means winning the game, great. If if they compete and lose, I'm okay with that too.
I would be curious to hear the fan base's perception on that. You know, when you talk about that UConn game, what is that line you're looking for?
I think Kelly's analogy is right on top. I agree. You can't judge it on whether you win, but you can judge it on whether or not you had a chance to win.
Yes.
Because you remember USF came here 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
And that was supposed to be the when you had the Alcorn Florida State, I think, and then USF came here and they drubbed Southern Miss. And that was the beginning of the end of that season.
Well, how about the Georgia State game? When Georgia State came.
Oh, that was ugly.
The Texas State game last year was pretty ugly, too.
Yeah, to me, that was
the time. We've only got a few minutes left, guys. We're going to talk about bad games in the last 4 years.
No, but I'm just saying, to me, the Georgia State game is when I started digging the grave. I said
that
this
was
is,
that
but they
was
still a, went to a bowl that year.
It just
that was a nasty beatdown that day.
Yeah,
by a team that shouldn't have done that.
But last year's Texas State game, that one was pretty bad.
Yeah.
When you know Liddy started, that was the beginning of the end of that team for me.
Yeah. Well, let's just hope that that third game they show some competitive ability and spirit, and then that would lead me to have some optimism that they can win a few conference games.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to understand. So, like, if they lost, maybe they win, but let's say they lost 23-20, much better than losing 31-10.
100%.
And I actually think they'll win the UConn game, and it's something that Marchant talked about the other day. I'm telling you, those blue blood Yankees are going to come down here. They will have no idea what this heat is going to do to them.
And even if we think it's cooler by our standards,
humidity,
it won't be cooler to them.
No, and you can't simulate that. You can't simulate that outdoors or indoors when you're up there where they are. So I think that's going to be a big advantage.
I thought I saw an interview where their coach said they're going to get here on like Monday of that week or something.
To adjust to the weather.
Yeah. Yeah. I still don't think 4 days
I'm just
is
saying,
enough.
You know.
Some of us have been here for years and we're still not used to it, right?
Yeah, I saw you in that indoor golf.
Junior college football kicks off this week. Mike Frazier is the JUCO expert. He's going to join us, give us an evaluation. Aubrey Gillentine is the new pitching coach. Here we go baseball again. At Pearl River Community College, former Golden Eagle. He's going to be on the show as well.
Man, we got some great shows lined up. Football next week, you guys.
Okay. Next week. Cheerleaders are going to be in the studio next week. Southern Miss.
To the top. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.